Let's begin our study today by reading from the book of Colossians chapter 1 again. You know, we have been reading from that for a number of days since we began this our Faith Basics series. The book of Colossians chapter 1. Today, I want to talk about the grace of Christ. What did I call it? The grace of Christ Jesus. So, we'll read from Colossians chapter 1 again, and I'll make some points then. After that, we'll go down to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Let me start Colossians from verse 9. It said, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Last time we talked about this bearing fruit in every good work. It said that strengthened with all power, verse 11, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, giving thanks to the Father, very important, the habit of giving of thanks, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Please, everybody say, inheritance of the saints. Now, that's actually what we are discussing today, that matter of the grace of Christ, all right? It said, for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Please, I want you to understand something in verse 15. And he is the image of the invisible God, that is, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. Please notice verse 19. This is a summary of verses 16, 17, and 18. It said, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Now, please, that's where I'm just going to stop, that verse 20. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Let me talk about the person of Jesus Christ briefly. And then I'll go on to read Isaiah chapter 53. See that summary in verse 19. It says, it is the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. That is the fullness of everything. The fullness of God, the fullness of God's blessings, the fullness of what this whole existence represents. It said, he is the firstborn from the dead. And God has given him as a head of the body. Please, I want to explain the importance of that. What God is doing is this. I'm talking about the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If you go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, Paul explains something there, talking about this grace as in Christ Jesus. Let me just quickly refer to it. Then we'll read where we are now in Colossians chapter 1 again. It said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is that grace? That is, God has something, all right, which he gave to his son, Christ Jesus. And then, Jesus, wanting to bless everybody, exchanged what he has for what you have. Are you getting my point? So, this is how you become rich. You take your poverty and give to him. And in giving him that poverty, you exchange it for his own wealth. Are you getting my point? This is what God is doing in Christ Jesus. We're talking about the grace of Christ Jesus. All right? What God is doing is that anything that he wants to give to you on this earth, he has given it to Christ Jesus. And you receive it based on your relationship with Christ the King. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? If you see that Colossians chapter 1, he said he is also head of the body. This is the concept behind that. That is, anybody who is attached to Christ Jesus participates in that which God has given to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, when he's talking about head of the body, now he doesn't mean the ruler of the body. There's a difference between the head of the body and the ruler of the body. Do you get my point? The head of the body refers to the fact that the body is attached to him. He's not speaking from the premise that he's in charge of the body. Are you getting my point? For example, you may say that who is the head of this institution? Or maybe you enter a university and they say he's the vice chancellor. But actually, that's not what the Bible is talking about here. That's the ruler of the institution. When he's talking about Jesus being the head of the body, he said, who is the head of this institution? You say the Ministry of Education of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. That is, if the ministry has money, the university will have money. Because the vice chancellor cannot fund the university. So he's not head of the body in that regard. He's the ruler of the institution. He's the administrative head. But when the Bible calls Jesus the head of the body, he's not referring to him as the Lord of the body in that case. No. He's explaining the fact that this is where the supply of the body comes from Christ Jesus. So if I say, who is the head of the university? Maybe I go to University of Nigeria, all right? And I say, who is the head of this institution? What you will say is the vice chancellor. The meaning of a head of the body in this context is if you go to the university and say, who is the head of this body? You will say the Ministry of Education. So during budgetary allocation, all right, money is allocated to the Federal Ministry of Education. Then that Federal Ministry of Education now gives money to University of Nigeria. University of Nigeria cuts off its relationship with the Federal Ministry of Education. It gets nothing. If it lasts, they have 25 vice chancellors. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are not the head of the body in that context. All right? They are just the rulers of the body. But in this context, God is describing the person who you are attached to, from whom your supplies come. It's important you get what I'm going to explain here. So when the Bible says that God gave him as head of the body, it's a very serious statement. What it was saying, that anything that the body will have must come through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Recently, I picked up a journal, all right, a Christian journal, and I gave to my wife. I said, check, look for the name Christ and the name Jesus in that whole journal. I said, I have looked for it. I didn't see one. Many things were said about the principles of the Spirit. Many things were said about, God said, God did not say. But nothing was said about the person Jesus Christ. And listen, that has removed all the power from everything you have said. Because right now, it's not knowing the principles that matter. Buddha knew the principles. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? It's not knowing the principles. If you live long enough, you will understand the principles of life. But the ability to bring down things out of the Father and pass to the people who are attached to you is what we are talking about. Only Jesus Christ has it. And that's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, see, I say it all the time, Jesus wasn't bragging, he wasn't feeling quiet and feeling cool with himself when he made that statement. It was a statement of fact. If you are not related to God by me, you can't get anything out of him. Out of the Father, because it has pleased the Father that every blessing that he has should dwell in me as the Son. And the reason why I have come is to allow everybody to attach themselves to me. Do you get my point? What he said, he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. That's in John chapter 3. He said, but to them that receive him, he gave the power to become sons of God, children of God. That is, if you are not related to God by me, you get nothing. Let me explain this principle again. There was one word we read there, Colossians chapter 1, we use the word inheritance. Did you notice that? I said we should look at that word, inheritance of the saints. Let me go back from where we stopped last time, when we were talking about the matter of works, that we are not saved by works. And I said the word salvation, all right, is not just about being redeemed from sin and giving your life to Christ and becoming a Christian and not a Muslim. Are you getting what I'm explaining? That it has more to do, all right? It has more in it than that. In Romans chapter 1, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And he was discussing that with those, all right, who had already believed. What he was saying is that whatever you want, if you want healing for your body, it's found in the gospel. If you want prosperity for your soul, it is found in the gospel. If you want prosperity from the troubles of life, it is found in the gospel. If you want prosperity from poverty or deliverance from poverty, then it is also found in the gospel. So, if there's anything you don't have right now, next week I'm going to begin to talk about it. What I call I gave the title last time. The believer's hope of victory. Yes. There is nothing that you are going through in life that God has not prepared something concerning. And that thing is only found in the gospel. And you only have a right to the gospel because you are in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. Christ Jesus did not come to teach us how to live, even though from the words he speaks, we know how to live our lives. Jesus did not come to teach us how to behave properly in the society, even though from the words that we heard him speak. In fact, you know, Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi loved Jesus Christ. He did. I don't know how much relationship he had with him, but one thing I know is that he loved his teachings. Are you getting my point? He will say concerning Christians that I don't like the Christian, but I like their Christ. What he's saying that the Christians don't reflect what their Christ teaches. Now, this is what I'm going to make. We may look at him and say, oh, such a good man. Really, I don't know much about him, more than the things that are publicly declared concerning the man. I don't know the relationship he had with Christ Jesus. But if he did not drink the Son, Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You can like my teachings, but you don't have life. Because from my teachings, you will get a certain level of victory in life. From my teachings, listen, if you're a businessman and you follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, you will overcome everybody else who is not following him. The reason is because they are sound principles of life. But there's something you won't have if it's just a matter of following his teachings. And what is that thing? What the Bible calls the power of life. All right? Because the principles of Jesus Christ, no matter how much you obey them, it will not warn you of the soon coming tsunami, all right, that's about to hit the shores of Chile. All right? It won't tell you about the earthquake that's coming to both Chile and Haiti. All right? If you are just related by the teachings of Christ Jesus, you do not have the power of life to overcome the troubles of life when they come. You will not have them. Are you getting my point? You will not have them. You will not have them. Because as a matter of fact, spiritual things are tangible. What God is doing through Jesus is to infuse his life into the people that believe. So if Gandhi only enjoyed the teachings of Jesus, but did not have faith in him as a substitutionary sacrifice for his sins, then he did not have life that God wanted him to have. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, I need to explain this thing. I said last time that works doesn't get us anywhere. We do not connect with the blessings of God by our works. That's not the primary reason. We connect with them by faith. And you see, we talked about righteousness last time, that you don't become righteous. Righteousness is not by works. It is not the things you do that make you righteous with God, because there are different standards of righteousness. I began to say that some few weeks ago. I said, if I am the ruler, let me give an example. This is Kingdom World Ministries. I'm in charge here, all right? You know, that's a matter of fact. I was the one that decided the time you will come for Bible study and the time you will not come for Bible study. If I say by quarter past, once it's 5 o'clock, you are late. They will shut the door after you, all right? It's 5 o'clock, Udechukwu will shut the door, all right, on you. You cannot enter, all right? Now, this is what I'm making. Therefore, if you obey the rules I set, in the context of the meetings I hold in this venue, you are righteous. Are you getting what I'm saying? Righteousness has reference, all right? There must be a reference to righteousness. Now, the righteousness of God, all right? God has his own righteousness. Society has their righteousness. The righteousness of God, God being the creator of everything, has the absolute and the highest form of righteousness. And he has declared, my righteousness is not by how well you walk. It is first and foremost described by whether you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, my son, or you don't. The Bible says that God is love. Let me explain something about God being love. All right? You know, Jesus looked at Jerusalem. He said, look at Jerusalem. He described the kind of city that they were. He said, the city that kills the prophet sent to them. He said, how I would have loved to gather you under my wings, all right? As a hen gathers her chicks. He said, but you will not have any of it. This is the point I'm making here. When the Bible says God is love, what it means is that God loves to bless people. Please, I want you to understand this thing. Listen, God loves to bless people. God has never, ever, ever asked for anything for his own benefit. Never. Even if he says that you should do this for me. One day I was watching a debate, the Doha debates, organized by either CNN or Al Jazeera. I can't remember who organized the Doha debates now, all right? But BBC. BBC organizes Doha debates. And they were talking about whether the Catholic Church is a force for good on the earth, or it is not. And the Nigerian Catholic Archbishop was there, and one British Catholic woman, and then there are some atheists from, I think, France and some other European countries were on the other side of the debate, and they were discussing whether the Catholic Church is a force for good on the earth. Now, I'm not going to talk about the details of the debate, but one of the men, I think a newspaper editor, he made a statement about God, which I said, this is pure foolishness and ignorance speaking. What did he say? We were talking about the Ten Commandments, that did the church not give the Ten Commandments to the world, all right, and is it not a good thing? And he analyzed the Ten Commandments, that which kind of God look at the personality we're talking about, that everything that he's discussing is about himself. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He said the God is selfish, he's self-centered, the only thing is about himself. And I said, this is utter foolishness. He does not know anything about this God. Because if I look at my son and say, never take anything from a stranger, it is not for my sake, it is for his sake. Because God said, they have eyes they can't see. They have ears they can't hear. They have a nose they cannot smell. He said, they have a mouth they cannot talk. Those that worship them become like them. God, understanding them, looks at his people and said, don't worship them. Why? Because if you worship them, you become like them. That day I watched the Doha debates and I said, my God, ignorance talking. And really, I have no problems about ignorant people like that. He doesn't believe in God. So where will he get the wisdom from to understand what I'm going to explain? What am I saying here? God loves people. God never, ever, ever. You know what Paul said? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said, love does not seek its own good. Therefore, the Bible says that God is love. You know what it means? God never, ever, ever, at any point in time, seeks anything for himself. God is always looking for how to bless. This is what I'm going to explain about righteousness. Righteousness is funny. As far as God is concerned, righteousness is when you allow him to bless you. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Righteousness is when you open your hands and say, God bless. Why do you think God loved Jacob and hated Esau? Because Esau said, I'm a strong man. A man gets up and takes charge of his own destiny. But the day Jacob caught God, he said, you will not go until you take charge of my destiny. I don't know whether you get what I'm explaining. And God said, this is a righteous man. Who is a righteous man? The person that does not obstruct my plan for life. And what's my plan for life? The willingness. That is, my plan is to bless people. I am willing to bless people. And if you will not stand in the path of my operations, then I call you righteous. So when God wanted to bless the whole of mankind, after the sin of Adam has set things in the wrong course, all right? God looked at Abraham and he said, follow me, all right? And I will bless you. I will take you to a land that you did not know. And all of that. The Bible says Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for what? For righteousness. Why? Because God said, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. In God's desire to bless a man and bless the whole of mankind, he saw a man who was agreeing to cooperate with him. He said, this is a righteous man. This is a problem with the other side of righteousness. When we want to struggle by our own works, God said, you can't go far. What do you know about life? You can never attain blessings like this. What do you know about life? So he says, all your righteousness is like what? Filthy rags in my sight. What am I trying to explain? When God wanted to bless people, we saw the word inheritance, Galatians chapter 1, right? He packaged every good thing that you ever wanted in life into a small, let me use the expression, a spiritual bottle. Are you following my point? And he hung that thing there, sealed it up, and said, anyone who wants it, we come through my son, Jesus Christ. And this is the point. It is not just because he so loves his son, you know, in quote, that he's just, you know, favoritism. He just likes everybody to come through the son. No. It's because when he arranged things, the only person that merited the things inside that bottle was Jesus Christ. Let me say something to you again. There are spiritual orders in life. We are here now using incandescent bulbs, you know, lighting up the stage so that people can see these things clearly as it's being viewed through the camera. We did not work for that. You think you worked for it, you did not. All we paid is a bit of money, went to the market and got everything we wanted. All right? A man, Thomas Edison, labored for it. Once he produced it, anybody can copy it. It's very simple. It's to produce the first one, that's where the problem is. And that's what I call the concept of the pioneer in the realm of the spirit. Somebody must step into blessing first before the rest of mankind can follow him. Are you getting my point? And so what Jesus did was to step into blessing. Therefore, he said he became poor. This is what it means. That is, he collected all the blessings, all right, and came to the earth so as to release it for everybody. The word death, I've explained it several times. The word death only has meaning in the life of Jesus now, we're talking about it, as it relates with the shedding of the blood of Jesus. What I mean is that, if you're talking about the blood of his cross, if you're talking about the death of Jesus, what he's actually talking about is the fact that his life was what? Released. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, his life was pulled out of him and poured upon all of us. In which case, Paul said it like this, in us, death is working, but life is working in you. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, concerning Jesus Christ, in him death walked, that life might walk in us. Let me explain what I'm going to say further. You can struggle all you want. The kind of blessing that God wants for you, you cannot decode it by yourself. It's not possible. Are you getting my point? That righteousness, you can't attain to it. So he said, but somebody has bought all the blessings for you. And all I am asking for, you know, God is interested. You know all he wants? Take sin as an example. God does not want you to correct your sins. He wants to acknowledge them. Did you hear what I said? He does not want you to correct your sins. What did he say? Acknowledge them. If you have slept with every man in Enugu, can you unsleep with them? If you have raped 20 women in your life, can you unrape them? If you have shot 20 people, can you unshoot them? Think about it for a second. If you are a poor man, when I'm poor, all your money you have in life, when they sell you, sell your property, everything put together comes to 75,250 naira. All right? And then you took a man's car without permission. The car is brand new. All right? Maybe a BMW 750i. 2010 model. You take the car and ram it into a trailer. You kill the car and manage not to kill yourself. And think about it. Let's assume that you are 65. That is your days of making money. Those days have passed. This is a question. Can you repair the car? Can you pay for it? We are talking 15 million naira. How are you going to do it? God is not saying, correct your sins. He didn't say make corrections. You know what he said? Acknowledge. This is the power of life. I wish you get the point. This is what God does. He said, okay, come. How many of men did he say they were? You were a harlot, part-time. How many were they? 150. He said, right now, I make life exactly for you like that of a virgin. You can't do it yourself. You can't. You can't. That's what Jesus does, oh. People don't understand the power of Christ Jesus. They think it's okay. I don't sin anymore. Things have passed away. No. What it means is that if things, the sins spoiled things, the life of Christ will correct them. Oh gosh, I wish you would understand what I'm saying. When sin spoils things, the life of Jesus corrects them. I pray that we will get the point here. He said he's able to save to the uttermost anyone who draws near to God by him. That is, there's nothing in the person's life that sin may have corrupted that God cannot uncorrect. Cannot uncorrupt. There is nothing. God can correct anything. That is what Jesus is about. It's not about learning his principles. It's that God puts a medicine and an antidote, a powerful medicine in a bottle. And he says, if you want it, you have to come through Jesus Christ. Simple. Do you know the reason? Because Jesus was the one that paid for it. Listen, in life, nothing is free. Nothing is free. Nothing is free. I'm writing a book titled, So Who Will Pay For This? Talking about the concept of gospel being free. I said, the gospel coming to people is not free. Somebody has paid for it. Spiritually, it's like that also. Nothing is free. God does not have the moral ability to give you anything for free. Somebody must pay for it. When we're talking about forgiveness of sins, let me explain something to you about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not the same thing as overlooking. Oh, gosh. Please, understand Jesus Christ, though. Understand the gospel of God. Forgiveness is not the same thing as overlooking. You know what's overlooking? Hey, just forget it. Let's just forget it. You know the way we say as human beings. Let's assume it did not happen. You get my point? Let's just assume it did not happen. Listen, my friend, if it happened, it happened. Assuming it did not happen did not unhappen it. You like my English? Just assuming that it did not happen did not unhappen it. It happened. You can offend me as a friend. Maybe you take my, use money as an example, it's easy to relate with. That my 75 million naira car, my 15 million naira car, you took it and you killed it. And like typical Nigerian, you come, hey, Josa, okay, I beg, sir. I always tell people, stop asking, if you are driving a car, you jam a man's car, stop telling him sorry. It doesn't make any sense. If you tell me sorry, I can slap you. If I can, you know what I mean? It annoys me. A man is driving on the road, takes his bike, wham! Takes off light that you need 15,000 naira to replace. And he says, no vex. I'm not vexed. Who said I'm vexing? Put the light back.
Who said I'm vexing? I did not vex. I just want the light back. He said, what is forgiveness? Go and read the scriptures. Forgiveness is not go. Forget it. No. Go and read it. The man, all right, that the Lord forgave, you know what he did? He came and said, have patience with me. I will pay you all. Give me time. I will pay. It annoys me when people here can say, sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. I said, what's the meaning of this sorry? Please, explain to me in modern day English. If you can't speak English, speak it in Pidgin. If Pidgin is not there, speak in a local language that I understand. But please give me the interpretation of that sorry. Does that sorry mean that this 15,000 naira damage, I should go and borrow money and fix it? Or it means I should drive the car around town with that damage? Tell me one of the two. Because the only sorry that makes sense is, sir, give me time, I will pay. Then I cannot decide, this is what forgiveness is, which I'm going to tell you, that I will do the payment. It is immoral for you to want somebody to let you go without you paying. As a believer, never ask for it. It is ungodly. If you break a man's window, stop there and explain. Right now, I'm flat broke. I just finished school. I'm going for NYC. I don't have jack. Sir, I'm asking you for one thing. After that, I get my second allowance, I will come and see you. Because the first one I used to pay for transport to go and come back. The second one's own. How much is it? That's how responsible people talk. It's poverty mentality people that think that prostrating should solve the problem. It does not solve problems. The man who you are owing can decide on his own to pay. Are you getting my point? Forgiveness is not free. Somebody makes payment. So if God looks at you and says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Do you know why? He can say that because he's planning to make the payment. If God says, your sins I will remember no more. You know why he says that? I will have made the payment. Because contrary to what we think, you think sin is just whether somebody caught me or did not. No, let me tell you what sin is. Sin is a deposit of evil into the atmosphere. Let me explain what I'm going to explain. I need to explain it properly. Let us assume that it is a man, his wife, three lovely children. Blessings are upon them. Are you getting my point? The man is making money. The woman is happy. He loves his wife and all of that. Everything is together in the home. The children are growing. There's no problem. Nobody is sick. Nobody has any problem. They are going to school and passing. Then one day the devil looks and says, have you considered this man who is blessed like this? Says to his cohort, what shall we do? Let's get some Midianite women to go and wreck the trouble in his house, the peace in his house. Therefore, you get one omogi. You know what they call omogi? So the man gets one omogi of yesterday. The devil and sends to the man. After plenty of vigorous temptations, the man finally falls for it. And then he wakes up and says, what kind of nonsense is this? Hey, God, forgive me. God, you know that. No, forget God now. He doesn't know God. He just says, hey, no, I won't do it again. This is very wrong. This is very wrong. His wife doesn't find out, he leaves. Now, listen. Or let's even say his wife finds out and he says sorry. All right? And she says, let us behave like it never happened. Are you getting my point? This is what he doesn't get. Instantly, an evil spirit opens the door. A door has been opened, an evil spirit passes through it and enters into the home. Problems begin. This is the annoying part about life. They will never link the two. The boy that used to be very well in school, he goes to school, listen to this, and joins a cult. And they say, are you stupid? The boy is not stupid. The devil literally pushed him into a cult. Where did the devil come from? His father. How? Through an adulterous relationship. And which the wife said, let's behave it like it never happened. The problem is that it happened. I told you, sin is not about temptation. When they give you money, be careful before you take it. Some people think that it's just money to meet immediate issues. The devil knows also. Eat and you will be wise. But what is he saying? He's gaining entrance into the whole of the earth. By one man's sin. The Bible says that through one man's sin, death entered. And death reigned because all men sin. Look, sin gives reigning power to the devil. So that hypothetical man I'm talking about, The wife said, let's assume it never happened, because she wants the peace of mind that goes with their good relationship. Unfortunately, it happened. It happened. Listen, when Amnon, oh God, when Amnon went after Tamar, he was an adult, but he was being pushed by a spirit, a literal spirit. The rebellion of Absalom was designed and executed by the disobedience of David. I'm talking about sin and the power thereof. You know, they spoke concerning sin to Eli, to Job. They said that maybe your son sinned and God handed them over to the power of their transgressions. Transgressions have power. That was what was spoken to Eli, that God will give your children over to the power of their sin. You don't forgive sin, like just forget it. Payment must be made. That is why a human being cannot forgive you. And it will stand. That's why David looked at God. He said, against you alone have I sinned. He killed a man, took his wife. He didn't say I sinned against Israel or the family of Uriah. He said, God, against you alone have I sinned. That is, if you don't apply, listen to me, God cannot say forget it and that's the end of it. He does not have that moral power. What does he do? He says, take a sacrifice as a sign that you believe in the first coming sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because without the shedding of blood, there cannot be any remission of sin. And he said, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. So what does that tell you? The blood of bulls and goats just showed the faith that you have in the sacrifice that Jesus was going to bring. Therefore, John looked at him and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole earth. That thing was not a joke. Because sin is not forgiven for free. It is expensive. Every sin donates into the earth a quantum of evil. Listen, I pray you get this point. Why do you think angels rejoiced when Jesus was born? They were dancing. It has happened. Oh, what did happen? Say, why are people dancing? You have not heard. He has been born. Because we are the ones that don't understand. We think church is a joke. If you know the power of Christ Jesus, you will be afraid to entertain people on the pulpit. It's an insult. It's like Ben Carson coming with the newest, all right, equipments in neurosurgery, all right, and the finest skills there are on the earth. And he starts dancing in the theater. Who wants to watch me operate? This morning I want to operate. And I'm going to operate somebody's brain today. Somebody shout hallelujah. Listen, my friend. Listen. If you know the power you are carrying, entertainment will not be part of the reason you bound the pulpit. John looked and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole earth. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me encourage you today. If you have believed in Jesus Christ, you should celebrate. What did I say? You should celebrate. There are preachers that get, you know, they are happy because they can move people by lying to them. What do I mean? You need the deliverance from the sin of your fathers. The reason why your business has not done well is because of the sin of your ancestors. You know what John said? John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the ancestors. It's a cause of rejoicing. Simeon couldn't die until he saw the birth of that salvation. You must understand that David said, your fathers rejoiced to see my day. That's Jesus was speaking. I'm going to explain. Look, listen. You can imagine that all the suicide bombing that goes on in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and also now in Pakistan. All right? All the wars, the tsunamis, the earthquakes, all right? All the HIVs and the armed robberies and everything on the earth, all right? Assuming that they are packaged in a container and you can see that this is what the problem is. And suddenly you see somebody who wants to take them away. Are you getting my point? And when the man is born, will you not rejoice? That was what happened. That was why John looked and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away sin." Sin is not just the act of disobedience. Sin is just is that act of disobedience with the consequences thereof. So he said, the wages of sin is what? Death. Therefore he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the death of the whole world."
I hope you are following me. I hope you are following me.
What have I said so far? That is the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That though he was rich, what does that mean when you say he was rich? Not just that he was born rich, but because, let me explain this, but because of his righteousness. I told you something, that forgiveness of sin is not cheap. Is that okay? Actually, Jesus went into the realms of ultimate righteousness. And by the power of his righteousness, do you understand my point? He bought, let me put it like this. One day John looked and saw a book that was sealed. Alright? And they looked around and in heavens they shouted, "Who is worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof?" And they looked to the left and to the right among all the multitudes of men here and there and up in the heavens and on the earth. And they said no one was worthy. And John, understanding the power of the book being sealed, let me say something to you. The blessings of God has two sides to it. One blessing is to lift up righteous people, and another side of the blessing is to punish iniquity. That's why when the seals were open, judgment was released. It wasn't because God was, in quote, angry, but because God was purging the earth that men who are righteous might be blessed. John looked at it and began to cry that without these seals being open, suicide bombings, atomic leakages, are you getting my point? Earthquakes and all the plagues of the earth is what this earth will experience without God punishing the evil therein. Therefore, he began to cry. Are you getting my point? And then somebody touched him and said, "Don't cry anymore." All right? He said, "Behold," how does he go again? The Lamb of God that was, the angel told, the elders told John. Let's quickly read it. Let's start from where they told him not to weep, verse 5. In verse 4, you see John began to weep greatly. That's Revelation chapter 5 now, we're in verse 4. "Because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said, 'Stop weeping. Behold,'" this is what I was looking for, "'the Lamb that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals.' And I saw between the throne," I'm jumping now, "and the elders, a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and he took it out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." Let me read verse 9. "The 24 elders began to shout, 'Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals.'" Listen to this. "Why? For thou wast slain, and this purchase for God with thy blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Let me just stop there quickly and explain something about the fact that, I know I've been explaining something that forgiveness is not free. Somebody had to pay for forgiveness to be available. How did he pay for it? He paid with the power, the cost of his blood. Listen, there are blood has different values on the earth. Did you hear what I said? It has different values. Human beings are not the same. Even those who do jazz for money, they don't use all kinds of heads. Yes, they don't. They don't. They don't. They are very selective. If you have watched enough of these our funny movies, they will say that the shrine rejected this head. Yes. Some of them are too dangerous. Some of them are worthless. If a man has been a thief, a crook, a cheat all his life, they can't use his blood to make money. It doesn't have value again. Listen, think about it. Why don't they go to the road and go and be picking all the harlots and using them to make money? Why would they look for young boys that are going to secondary school? You know why? The more the sin you commit, the cheaper your blood is. They take you to sacrifice. You just buy the man, want to kumboka, that's the end of it. I know what I'm saying. I'm not joking about it. The Bible says the adulteress haunts precious lives. It doesn't look for cheap lives. Yeah, go and read the Bible. You know what the adulteress is looking for? Precious life. There are some cheap lives running all over the place. It doesn't. That will not get value. Precious lives. No, believe me what I'm saying. There's a cost. There's a value to a person's soul. The Bible says that the redemption of a soul is costly. So when Jesus was going to redeem the whole of mankind, it was a serious assignment. Why didn't God took such a long time preparing for it, and then personally trained the Son Jesus Christ? That's why it's called the Son of God. Not just the way he was born, because of who the Father was. The Father himself personally taught him in obedience. Punished him to teach him fear of God. I know what I'm saying. So when he reached a particular age, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." If you ever, there's this cartoon that I saw recently, Hercules. Alright? I don't know how many of you have seen it. Of course, based on the Greek mythology about the Hercules guy. Hercules was supposed to have been the son of the god in this particular cartoon. And I know I see things with spiritual eyes. And then somebody carried him and dumped him on the earth. And he grew up as a normal person. But then he found out that he was from somewhere, so he had to rejoin the gods. So his father Zeus told him that you will go to the earth and do stuff that will make you worthy of becoming a god. So he came, did every heroic act on the earth, then went back one day to go and tell his father, say, "I have done it. I'm now the most popular man on the earth. So now I'm happy to the day has finally come." The father said, "Which day is that?" He said, "The day that I finally joined the gods." He said, "Son, you haven't done anything that's making you worthy of joining the gods." This is the interesting part. I like what the Wale Oke said. Wale Oke. He said, "Those that do things that count, don't stop to count them." You hear what I said? He said, "Those that do things that count, don't stop to count them." I've told you all, if you can count that, I give one naira, I give two naira, I give three naira, I deserve blessing. Poverty is your friend. You know, I've told you that thing again. I hope you have believed it now. If you're able to say, "God, this is my tithe booklet, devourer cannot come against me," next day, the devourer will raise an army against you, and God will tell the angels, move back, let them flog this stupid boy, small. They will flog you very well. After that, you will tear the tithe booklet. You will throw it away. I'm telling you, the real acts of goodness that counts, you don't know when you do them. I'm telling you, you won't even think you're doing something big. One thing is, you know, this is how I see life. When I saw that movie, that cartoon, it was the day this young Hercules decided to give his life for a girl that he loved. That, okay, the devil had killed her. He wanted to rescue her from Hades. That's the Lord of the Dead. So now God then said, "Okay, this is what we're going to do. Take me and let her go." And the guy said, "I hope you don't mind. By the time you reach out to bring her out, you are going to be dead. I hope you have no problem with that." This is the interesting part. The moment he did that, from above came the power to make him a god also. Therefore, he did not die. And yet he rescued the girl. This is the point I'm making. The real sacrifice. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, than for a man to lay down his life for his friends." What am I saying? Jesus accrued in his account with God such a high level of value. Then finally, when he should, like most of us would, grab and say, "Yes, I have arrived," that was when God came and collected it again. Let me tell you something. There's something about God. I beg you in the name of Jesus, all right? Redeem yourself from this gospel that makes blessings look as if that's the focus of Christianity. I like one thing Charles Stanley said. He said, "Sacrifice is the focus of Christianity." There's a reason I'm saying that. We're talking about hundredfold blessing, all right? When God wants to bless you a hundredfold, this is what he does. He takes away that which you value the most. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Do you know how Isaac came? Because of faith. Do you know how Isaac came? Because of persistent work with God. Do you know how Isaac came? Because this man kept on obeying God. Then finally, when God wanted to bless him, finally, he said, "Give me Isaac. That this is the reason why you have worked with me all these years. To give you the final blessing, I want that thing that you have labored for in working with me." You know, we don't understand the gospel very well. we think what Paul was saying in Philippians chapter 2 was that Jesus, he existed in heaven. Oh gosh, let's read this thing. Oh, what I want to say is very, 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 very deep. Many people will hear this and disagree. But what I'm about to tell you is the truth. He said, have this attitude in yourselves, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although, verse 6, he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him. What I want to discuss is that word, equality with God. Everybody say equality with God. I don't have time to explain it. We discussed this one in previous times. The equality with God, he's saying that he did not consider a thing to be grasped. Listen to this. Listen to this. Please don't run away when I say this. You know, Jesus made a statement and everybody disappeared. Don't worry, they still came back. Even if you run away, he will still be back. That equality with God was not describing how he was before he was born. He was describing a position he attained to on the earth by reason of a close and unpolluted walk with the Father. Listen, that was why the disciples looked and said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves, they obey him? Listen, he had to explain to his disciples that nobody can take my life from me because I have attained a position called equality with God. He said, I laid down my life of myself. When he went to raise Lazarus, you know what he said? He said, let me prove some things to these people that men are not the same. The day they said Lazarus was sick, he told his disciples, this guy is not supposed to die. But right now, as far as I'm concerned, it makes no difference whether he dies or he does not die. Because when I get there, he will live again. He did not pray Lazarus. He didn't raise Lazarus by a special anointing. He raised Lazarus as a proof that men can attain a place where a man will die. They will punch God's direct line and say, I heard John Bull died while I was not around. He said, yes, send him back now. I think the guy has work to do for me. In fact, he's owing me money. And if John Bull has sense, he shouldn't pay. Because the moment you pay, the man will let you die. Just like I say, next week, until you have lived to be 90. He said, I think I can die. Oh, yeah, boys, call that man, let me pay him his money. So, now, that's the joke. But this one I'm making. That's how he raised Lazarus. Go and read it. I don't have time to explain it. He looked at Lazarus and just simply said, Father, I thank you because you heard me. In fact, you hear me always. Whichever way I pray on top, I pray below, I sleep while I pray, always. Whichever way I pray, and whichever time I pray, you hear. Therefore, you know the reason why I'm shouting? I'm just shouting so that they will know that me and you, we have ways by which we talk. Now, Lazarus, come forth. That was 4 days dead. If Lazarus had been dead, listen to me, for 1 year, he would still have come out. That was the position he got to. Listen, everything he had labored for, spiritually speaking, one day God now demanded it and said, lay it down, and you will become obedient to death on the cross. That was hard. Have you noticed all the suicide bombers that Islam has are people who are not going anywhere? You've not noticed? That's why they recruit them from slums. Yemen is now a fertile ground for suicide bombers because it's the poorest Arabian nation. Poor people are the ones that blow themselves because they are not going anywhere anyway. Frustrated young men who can be brainwashed because they think there is no hope and they promise their family care. Listen, for you to be rich, have plenty of money, have private jets, be earning $200 million a year, have wives, children, have everything, and yet blow yourself up for Islam, is the day I will know that you guys are serious. That's the only thing. Look, go and check it. That is only Christ that does that. That's what Jesus did. full of life, full of everything. He said, the prince of this world is coming. He has nothing in me. What can he do? You know what it means? That in the midst of a war, Jesus will walk as everybody shut up. Everybody will stop shooting. 13 times they tried to kill him. They couldn't. Not that he threw everything away. He said, why? He said, because of the joy that was set before him. What is the joy? It's not that he will get more. The Bible says he had attained equality with God. What was the thing? That he said, this is your disciples too. They will now be able to attain that which you have already. He says, is that what we are going to achieve? And God said, yes. He said, therefore, he humbled himself even unto death as a slave, as a condemned man on the cross. The Bible says, therefore, God highly exalted him beyond the one that he had before and gave him a name that was above every name. The equality with God of which you describe had to do with this temporal existence. But now God gave him a name so that in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth. Listen, that was a final part of his character that made him able to take the seal, take the book, and to break the seals thereof. I hope you are following what I'm saying. Listen to me. Jesus, look, he's not, you don't compare. Don't look at the head of Christianity is Christ Jesus, the head of Muslims. That's an insult. The head of Buddha Buddhist is Buddha. No, it's an insult. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Behold the Lamb of God, John said, that takes away the sin of the whole earth. There is nobody on earth that ranks with him. None. Listen to me, any true leader of any religion that was not lying to people, if he lives today, tell him the story of Jesus Christ, he will drop everything that he has and follow him. Because what are you looking for? Everything that you can ever want on earth is packing the person Christ Jesus. Listen to me, all the forces of this earth are subject to him. Let me end with something. You know what? Why he died? It was so that every one of us can step into the same shoes that he was wearing. Therefore, everything that he bought by his life and also by his death, God packaged them and called them promises. He summarized everything in one word. He called it what? The inheritance of the saints. Are you getting my point? What is grace? Grace is when a man realizes that there is nothing he can achieve for himself. But what he needs is that which Christ Jesus achieved for himself but gave up for him. Are you getting my point? Let me say it again. Grace is when you realize, this is how it comes into your life, that I can struggle, I can try, I won't get anywhere. But if I realize that Jesus struggled, in quotes, tried, and got somewhere, and got everything, yet he died, that which he got might be given to me. Are you getting my point? If I believe that, then you will discover that the death of Jesus begins to benefit me. Let me give you a practical example. I learned a lesson recently. I was sharing with Kingsley this morning. R.B. Thiem said, there are over 7,000 promises that the believer has written in these scriptures. Let me give one of them. He gives it to his beloved even while he sleeps. It is forbidden for a Christian to walk day and night. You don't understand the grace of Jesus yet. I love to quote Paul Getty, upside down, of course, because of the statement he made. He said, how do you become rich? Rise up early and go to bed late and strike oil. I said, the Bible says it is vain for a man to rise early and to go to bed late because he gives the striking of oil to his beloved even while he's sleeping. Mary Kay Ash proved that to be true in her book, Miracles Happen, when she told the story of how she struck oil. Her son came to her with his friend. He said, this is my young friend, he's a geologist. He has developed an interesting method of prospecting for oil. I know him, he's smart, it works. Invest money. The woman invested money and forgot she invested money. Are you getting the point? She forgot she invested money. Then sometime later, I don't know how long, I don't know how many months or how many years, the story I'm about to explain something. She titled the chapter in her book, Miracles Happen. That chapter she titled it, You Can't Outgive God. She said one day her pastor called her to please come and motivate people so that they can finish the children's church building that they used to, all right, they were building. She did not like to speak in church, even though she was a very accomplished public speaker. So she took a very far away date. Anyway, Yoruba man has a saying that it might be far at the beginning, but one day 20 years will remain only tomorrow. Just by the way, when the British took over Hong Kong from the Chinese, it was 140 years. One day, it was tomorrow. That the lease ended and they handed over back to the Chinese. Anyway, so that day came, and in her rush, that Saturday night, she went out with her husband. They came back late and she fell asleep. Next morning, they woke up late. And in rushing to get ready, she was in the bathroom putting up her makeup. She said something, if people ever say that they heard God speak to them, this is the closest I ever came to it. Then I heard a voice in me say, offer to double any amount of money they will raise that day. Normally what they will get is $500, that kind of money. And then that day she went there. She started talking around. Finally she just dropped the talk and said, I beg, look, let's forget all of this talk. We need to finish this thing. So what we're going to do is that any money you give, I double it. If you raise $500, I make it $1,000. If you raise $10,000, I make it $20,000. And I want cash or check now. And the pastor said, you know, most people didn't prepare for this. Just give them till tomorrow. He said, okay, by tomorrow, I want everybody to bring their cash or their checks. She titled the chapter, You Can't Outgive God. Next morning, she expected a phone call so that he would tell her how much money they had raised. The phone call did not come. So she felt that maybe the money was plenty, maybe up to $1,000, up to $10,000. Finally, the phone call came from the head deacon in church, who said that first of all, said, sorry we called you late. We called you late because we were debating what we'll do with the pledge you made openly. What was the pledge? That you double everything. So the church said that as a body, because anything you lose on earth is losing heaven. He said, as a body, we have released you from that pledge. You don't have to meet it. The woman said, don't worry. It's my pledge. I stand by my word. He said, no, let me explain. The money is plenty. Therefore, I want to release you from the pledge. The woman said, how much is it? They said, $104,000. And the man repeated it. I told you, we released you from the pledge. And she said, it's my word. I stand by it. She sat down there and said, yig bilu. $104,000. She said, okay, all right, what I'm going to do is that I'll go and talk to my bank manager. I'm a credible debtor. Nothing spoiled. They'll give me the money. Because she said, you have to redeem that day. So she had that day to pay $104,000. She was still sitting on the same seat. Less than an hour later, that same phone rang again. This time around, it's her son that brought a friend that time. And the question is, mommy, why is it that everything you touch turns to gold? The woman said, explain. Say, remember that my friend said, I do. He said, we finally struck oil. Your share in the first 1 month is over $100,000. She said, it was a humble woman that took her pledge to church that morning. That it wasn't like, yes, I'm a great giver. It was with the fear and trembling. When you see the abilities of God demonstrated in your life, you will respect them. The woman said it was with trembling and humility, all right, that she went to church that day. Now, why I said that a lot of people like to turn upside down? A lot of preachers hear this story. And so they say, right now. That's the jagudaness in these things that we do. If I shout right now, all of you that rush forward, you won't get jack. One or two people come and tell me funny stories after God blessed them. He was planning to bless you before. It's not that day. What are you saying? Listen, this woman didn't start her lifestyle that day. Are you getting my point? It's not one single day, just jumped up. Why do you think God came to speak to her? Why has he not spoken to you in your bedroom until I show up? Well, let's leave that. I always get irritated when I get there. But this story is very sweet. All those fire brigade money raising bobos, they like such stories. They'll come and tell it. Why did I tell my own? My own, so that you will understand that the Lord gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. That's how Christians prosper. we understand that there are promises. We can sleep. We don't have to follow Paul Getty. He said, Paul Getty had results to show. Analyze results for me properly. Most of his children died of drug overdose or drunken driving and crashed their into accidents. One of them said money was a curse to our family. Even though he was the richest man in the world, why should I follow him? Can you imagine the son of the richest man in the world saying money was a curse to our family? The man died a certified psychiatric case. Was paranoid to the core. So let's forget what he said. Let's follow what God says. What did Jesus do? Jesus died so that God can bless his beloved even while he sleeps. Listen, all the labor you are trying to labor that God might bless you. Jesus said, I have labored the blessing, I have collected the blessing. I have labored the labor, I have collected the blessing. The blessing does not remain anymore. Let me explain something to you. All the blessings tied to obedience to God, they have finished. Any blessing you get now, I need to give you this principle before I leave here. Anytime you see God tell stories about two people, it affects your life. You have to choose one of the two. It's not an accident that there was only Esau and Jacob. And there was no Michael in between them. You know what it means? Every child of God has to be either an Esau or a Jacob. What is Jacob? What is Esau? Jacob believed in the blessing. Are you getting the point? And when the time came for the blessing to be released, Jacob did whatever he had to do to get it. After Isaac finished blessing Jacob, Esau arrived. And you know what he said? What Isaac said? Your brother has collected everything. He said, is there no small blessing left for me again? The guy said, the blessing will not remain again. Okay, let me bless you. You will be his servant. Listen. Every blessing you get by your own labor, it is tied with one thing. You must be a servant to Jacob. The true blessings, they finished long ago. The Lord Jesus Christ came and collected them before you came. You know what he's now doing? He said he ascended on high. He gave gifts unto men. What he's now doing is that he's demonstrating, he's distributing that which he has collected. And if you want true blessing from the bosom of the Father, you have to connect with Jesus Christ. You have to. You have to. And except you resemble him, the Father does not give you true blessing. He gives you small, temporal blessing that only makes you a servant. That's why all these things you are sowing seeds towards. You are using your labor to force something out of God. They are only things that will make you a servant. I am telling you the truth. No matter how blessed you are by your own struggles, you are a servant. You are a servant of Jacob. Esau will always serve Jacob. No matter how much he tries, he's a servant to Jacob. Why? Because Jesus came, collected all the good blessings. Every single one. Every. Even those who get healed. Without being healed directly from him. He said there are crumbs that fall from the master's table. Are you getting my point? The totality of the blessings. The Bible says it pleased God that all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in him bodily. If you don't know Christ, you are a confused and doomed person. You are. And that's why that John, when I saw it, worried me. That Christians will gather and not magnify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You have to, because it's as you magnify him in yourself. You know what? Let me end with one scripture. Then we'll continue developing from this point next time. Are you learning something today? Yes, Colossians chapter 1. So when Jesus came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was not a man filling pipe with himself. I hope you know the meaning of the word pipe now. Somebody says swagger. He wasn't just feeling tough. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Colossians chapter 1. From verse 24. He said, now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's affliction. Of this church, I was made a minister, according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Now, this is the word of God I'm trying to fully carry out the preaching of. That is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. In fact, the Holy Spirit is really directing my teaching. Because you know, I said next week, we'll start from talking about what? The believer's hope of victory. Do you get the point? The believer's hope of victory. Listen, this is how Christians triumph in life. You know, Jesus looked and said, the prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. You know what it means? Anybody who is found in the image of Christ, the prince of this world will also come and have nothing in him. Your labor, I've said as a believer, forget it, you don't have to labor to prosper. I was saying a lion card the other day, we're in my house. I said, my little experience in life has taught me something. If any believer who's a businessman will just go after a good name, he can never be poor in life. You hear what I said? You don't have to be sharp. That is, the only thing you can do in life is to wreck the blessing that God is channeling your direction by bad behavior. What am I saying? Your job as a believer, as an example, using business as an example, is just to go after what God has made you to be, a good and righteous person in Christ Jesus. And that way, every blessing you have ever imagined will come to you. Let me tell you something. I'm going to talk about that maybe next week, if I remember. Don't ever be afraid of dreaming big. Do you know why? Because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above that which you can ask or think. Because there is a power that works in you who believe. What am I saying? Believers don't get things because they struggled. Listen, let me tell you something. Let me give you some issues. There are many things to say. You may see everybody running to go and get MBA because they want a better job. As a Christian, don't bother. If you want an MBA, get an MBA because you want to have the knowledge that MBA confers. A friend of mine told me that all his life he's dreamt of going to do an MBA in a particular world top university. Funny enough, he doesn't need it for a job. It's just something I've always wanted to do. I wish believers would start thinking like that. I always tell people that when my wife resigned from working in the bank was when she enrolled in SU Business School to get an MBA. And this year, she's going back to go and get an MSc. After the MSc, she'll get a PhD. But do I need to tell you that she's not looking for a job? When you see my wife looking for a job, know that I sinned and I'm being punished. Pray for me that I might repent and be reconciled. And don't come for my Bible studies again until I've repented and I'm reconciled with God. Don't ever forget what I said. Yoruba man has to say, if you see an adult running in the afternoon, either he's pursuing something or something is pursuing. What am I saying is that whatever you want to do in life, ask yourself, am I pursuing something or something is pursuing me? Ask yourself, what am I pursuing or what is pursuing me? I'm not saying Christians shouldn't get degrees. Did I say that? No. I'm saying, why are they doing it? If you are looking for it because if I do this, I will now get a better job. Just know that you have not yet discovered the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because he said, man shall not live by bread alone. I suffered some financial disappointments in the last few weeks, all right? Don't worry, it's not nothing terrible, all right? But disappointments. And I one day I was coming down from my car, and I was laughing to myself. And telling the Lord, I said, Baba God, now wow. You really, Job was right. You give and you take. Now you take this one. And God has taken from me before, I know. We know the quarrel over. Because people say, rebuke the devil. You know, I don't even know when last I rebuked the devil on such things. Devil know the fear. Go and ask Satan. When he went to God's presence concerning Job, he said, I know they go near that side. The angels are dangerous. Last time we went by, they almost removed my nose. Because they don't worry. I'll tell them to go back. I'll tell them to move back. Go and thank Job for me. But this was what happened. After one disappointment, after the other, it was as if God was just following them one after the other. If I look at this disappointment, I said, okay, this one will go work. I tell my wife, don't worry. This one will work. As I look at that disappointment, I said, my wife, don't worry. After the third one, I said, wait, what's going on? Ah! The scripture came to my head, which I had preached before. I should start listening to my own messages. I said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. I said, what that means is that anything that natural things can give to you, all right, if you focus on the word of God, you will get it without having those natural resources. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is, if I one day, you know, something happened. Hey, he's not around here. One brother, he comes around once in a while. Namdi, are you around? No, he's not around. He's in Lagos. All right, he called me last week. He's in Lagos. He came with Charles. I said, I've seen this face before. He said, I was his lecturer at Newe. I said, okay, so I told you at Newe. He's a medical doctor now. He's a medical student when I was teaching him there. So we chatted a bit. So he said that he went to Lagos to apply for residency. He wants to be a pathologist. So I said, oh, Lagos, that's where I came from. That's my chief. My chief is there. I said, why didn't you tell me you were going to Lagos? Like, you should have just told me before you went. You know what he said? Even me, I was humbled. Like, Pastor Vanke, close your mouth. He said, oh, you taught us we don't need to know anybody. I said, you are right. I repent. He said, you spoke to us that we don't need to know anybody. He said, I listened to one of your messages. He said, actually, when I told my colleagues around my family I was going to apply in Lagos, you know the way Lagos is, intense competition. They told me, don't bother. They won't take you. Just forget it. That is somebody of all these tongues they are speaking. All right? So he forgot it. Where he was serving deep in the north, where he needs to travel 1.5 hours to get to a bank, he listened to one of the messages I preached again. And he said, no, I don't need to know anybody. Because his own father asked him, who do you know? And his father, is in Lagos, or anyway, somewhere in the south. And then he called his father one day and said, please, help me pay for the form because the bank is too far away. He said, it will be a waste of money. He said, that's the only money I'm asking you to waste for me. The young man flew, of course, from where he was, went down to the nearest airport. Of course, you know, that would be like 3-4 hours away. Flew to Lagos. That's a lot of money for the interview. When he came to see me here, he was to tell me the story. He said, when I went in there, I prepared for the interview. I went for the interview. I was the best performing candidate. And Luth has a rule. Once you are the best performing candidate at the interview, even the president cannot unseat you. That's how he got admitted into the program. So when he was telling me, you know, he told me at the beginning that, but he said we don't need to know anybody. Once we know God, I said, that is very correct. He said, oh, his own father said, now, wow, this faith you are practicing, you know, that kind of response. His friends now said, hey, if we had known, we would have also applied in Luth. I said, they would have drowned like the Egyptians. You follow a man who is blessed into the parted water. Water that parted. You follow a man who is blessed into it. You're on your own. As soon as he finishes crossing, the water will collapse on you so heavily. That's what I'm telling you. Your life is not average as a believer. Why I told that young man's story is because he reminded me of the scripture which I had quoted and I preached before. That man does not live by bread alone. What that means, we used to say that it means he lives by bread and has the word. No, he's saying bread is not the only thing that can provide life for you. The word of God without bread will give it to you also. Therefore, Elijah will eat a meal and will go in the strength of that meal for 40 days to the mountain of God. I forgot it. Therefore, God went after me tooth and toenail. That this boy, you must remember, you must be careful that these things don't slip away from you. So I suffered one disappointment after another. But good enough, God, thank you for the heart of David. I quickly remembered. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I like the way Don Moen said it. I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Do you understand my point? Yes, I have begun to depend on man. Meanwhile, there is an inheritance in Christ Jesus. You know what it says? That even though I don't know anybody, even though I don't have any material thing on this earth, I can achieve anything that my heart desires. Listen to me. God answers prayers. Listen to me, saints of God. If you will ask anything, not quoting your own bread. You know my quoting your own bread. God, after all, I have an MBA. I have a second class upper. People who don't have as much as I have, they are getting the job. Why me? Why me? Why me? What is going on with me? Is it the sins of my ancestors? I rebuke them in Jesus' name. God, look at it. In school, I was good. God said, okay, go on. This boy is depending on bread. And he wants me to cooperate with bread to bring him success. Forget. But if you go there and say, God, whether I have bread or not, it's besides the point. I like that kind of job, and for good reasons too. Hear me, saints of God. There are not enough curses running through your ancestry to stop you from prospering. They are not enough. You know why? Jesus fought for all the blessings. Are you getting my point? And he collected all the blessings. And he said, therefore, you know what you will do? You will ask anything in my name. Not in your strength. Not in your connection. But ask because I have collected the blessing from the Father. So if you ask in my name, I will give it to you. The reason why we have not received a lot of things is because we have been so sane like the Philistines. Using human calculations to make up our mind what we can ask God for. That's why I said as believers, please don't be afraid to dream big. Yesterday, 2 days ago, my wife was asking me, how much did they sell an airplane? Because I've told her that you own airlines. I said, you own an airline, you have airplanes. He said, okay, how much do they sell airplanes, sir? I said, which one? He said, like this big one that they fly all over. I said, okay, like a 787, Boeing 787. He said, yes. I said, a Boeing 787 is $550 million. Amen. He said, what? He said, what about the smaller ones? I said, like which one? He said, a 737. I said, is this that small one that they fly around in Nigeria? He said, yes. I said, that's about $50 million for one. He said, what? I said, don't worry. But let me just say something. Jesus, by the way, don't let those things scare you. Natural human beings are getting them without having money. Yes, how much more Jacobs that are supposed to be saved by Esau? Ooh. Let me tell you what will happen. One day somebody will call you and say, we want to start an airline. We can't. Somebody say, once we talk to you, the blessing upon you will make it float. Yes. Yeah. Say, what do you want? Tell them I want 45%. Don't take anything lower. That's for my name. He said, now I will give you people 100 million naira that might be 51. That I buy 6 extra pieces. Listen, it will happen. Did I hear a name?
Amen.
If you're a business person, all you need to do is right now cultivate faithfulness. What did I say? All you are doing business with the 5,000 naira, manage that 5,000 naira like it is the word of God. Do you understand my point? Don't cheat anybody. Don't owe anybody needlessly. All right? When you have money, pay them off. Don't lie. If it is from China, it's from China. If it's from America, it's from America. Things made in China are not made in America. Don't mistakenly forget and tell them it's from America. If you know it is from Dubai, it is from Dubai. You don't need to lie. Just do that. And I'm telling you, I told you the story of one of my friends. I know I've overshot my time, but I'm sure you're learning one or two things. One day my friend called me. I've told the story several times. I just need to tell you again so that you know that these things happen. He called me, said, Banky, what is that Kingdom World Ministry account number again? I told him. He said, I need to send an urgent offering. I said, what happened? He said, I will gist you. For your information, the time I was in the U.S., he called me. He said, I want to send you a prophet's offering. I have $400 for you. How do I send? I said, give it to my wife. I'll put it into my dorm account. She'll push it into my MasterCard. I'll be able to use it in the U.S. That was, he said, this bank, this one is for you as a man of God. He's my friend, though. The first time I wanted to send Kingdom World money, what happened? I've told the story a number of times. It was in Enugu here, all right? And his phone rang. This big man called Mike and said, am I talking with so-and-so person? He said, yes. He said, I'm chief this, this, and this, and that. My friend was like, what? He said, listen, the MD of First Bank Mortgage, you know, they have this mortgage unit, gave me your number. Said, if I want anybody that can do this job well and do it honestly, I should talk to you. So the man said, sir, what do you want me to do for you, sir? He said, can we see my house in the evening? The guy said, no problem, sir. What he did not tell was that he was in Enugu. He just told the man, no problem, sir, and drove straight to the airport and boarded the next flight and ran down to Lagos. This is the point I'm trying to make to you, all right? The day he decided to call me, he called me to send Kingdom World money. You know what happened? He said this big man had an issue, so he kept him waiting. He and some local government people that are supposed to inspect a particular site. He kept them waiting for some time. for about 2 hours. When he came back full of apologies. I said, oh boy, what do we do to these other men? We've been keeping them waiting. He settled the men. He now said, as for you, I'm sorry I kept you waiting. He opened his bag, brought out 200,000 naira to compensate him for wasting 2 or 3 hours of his time. The guy left the place, phoned me and said, Banky, what's Kingdom World account number? I need to send an offering, an emergency offering. This is his story. He was driving on the streets of Enugu when his phone rang. And they told him, I heard that if I need somebody who is good and honest, it is you. That's what you need as a testimony. Because Jesus has, in all this your struggle, he struggled it. When he used to pray all night, he saw that you wouldn't have to pray all night. When he would go for 40 days without food, so that Banky will never go for 3 days without food. He said, this is a special prayer to bring forth breakthrough. Jesus has already broken the broken breaking through. Do you hear what I said? The Lord Jesus has already broken the breaking through. What I use my own prayer for now is to connect by faith with the person of Christ Jesus. If I need to fast, I will fast so that this revelation of his face might be clear to me. After that, all other things are properly and particularly added unto me. Let me stop. I've kept you for too long.